Right, I'll assure you that. Our Lord made him mad. Everywhere he went preaching grace. Now you can preach works if you want to preach works, and it ain't going to bother him. You can preach baptismal regeneration. That's not going to bother him. You can hail Mary, and she ought to be hailed, I guess. You'll catch that by slow phrase. There's two different kinds of hailing. You catch it, like I said, but slow freight. Or they ought to be hailed, not her. They ought to be hailed. That's what I meant to say. But that's not going to make the devil mad either. But I'm going to tell you what will. Preaching grace. Marvelous, wonderful grace. You'd be surprised at the preachers that'll get perturbed when you start preaching grace. All grace, pure grace, sufficient grace, nothing but grace. Now, I'll assure you, friend, there's a number of them out there that'll get upset. They'll get violent. They'll call you everything under the sun but a human being. Amen. But nonetheless, it was by grace through faith that I got in. And I'm going to keep on magnifying grace. I hope that you will too. Now, I'm not going to be but a few minutes. I've got one word and three illustrations on that word, and that's all that I've got. I'm not preaching. I'm going to exhort you. I'm just going to exhort you. The book of the Song of Solomon, please, and chapter number 3. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm just about getting tired of Song of Solomon chapter 3. Well, you've got at least Sunday morning to go through with it coming up. And so I'm talking about in the first four verses, that is, which where we're going to be tonight. That's where we're going back to Sunday morning. After next Sunday morning, we may pull out of there and see if I can't get some of you in God's chariot. If I can get you in that chariot, amen to God, if things may pick up if we can manage to do that. But Song of Solomon and chapter number 3, let's stand together as we read the first five verses of this chapter together. "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom I loveth, my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little while, but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight. Let's bow to pray. Our Father, I'm thankful again, Lord, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. And Father, thank you for the great truth that you've revealed to me and how small it is and yet how great it is. And I pray tonight that, Lord, that you will convey it to these, your people, your dear children. And I do ask you, Lord, to magnify Jesus in our midst tonight, in our presence. Lord, would you honor us tonight with the divine holy presence of God. Give us grace in this hour and liberty for the next 15 or 20 minutes that I might do no more than exhort your people. And I'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm not going to try to push something that is not here. But I do want to exhort you just a few minutes tonight and try to help you along just a little bit, and Brother Hall with you, in our search for the Lord. That little old bride said, I found a certain look for him, but I found him not. But she said, it was but a little while that I passed from them, that is the watchman. And she said there that I found him whom my soul loveth. Now, this is not the word that I'm going to elaborate on in just a minute. But the thought that I want to convey to you tonight is just a little further. She went just a little further. She had to go beyond the watchman in order to find him whom her soul delighted in. And church, I believe that God would expect you and I to go just a little further tonight. And we're going to have to go just a little further tonight if we're ever going to find him. He is within reach, but we're going to have to move on just a little further if we're going to find him. Now, that bride said that by night on my bed, she said, I sought him whom my soul loveth, but I found him not. She had to go a little further than her complacency in the night season in order to find the Lord. She said in verse 2, she said, I will rise now and I go about the city in the streets. And then in the broadways I'll seek him whom my soul loveth. But again she said, I sought him, but I found him not. But one thing I want you to understand, she went just a little further. She had a desire to go just a little bit further. And if we're going to go a little bit further until we find him, we're going to have a desire to do that. My friend, nobody has ever served God without desire. Nobody has ever found him sufficient in their life without some desire and a little bit of zeal. She went a little bit further. And the Bible said there that the watchman found her. And apparently they gave her just a little bit of instruction. For just passing just a short while, the Bible said after she passed from them, that she was able to find him whom her soul delighted in. Again, she went just a little further. Hey, and every time that she failed to find him, she went just a little bit further. She did not become discouraged. She did not become overwhelmed and turn back. But every time that her plans were thwarted, she just simply picked up bag and baggage and went just a little bit further. I'm simply saying that she had a desire to find the Lord. Now look here, she had to go further than public worship. You hear, Brother Hall, well, what I'm getting ready to tell you. If the only time, my friend, that you ever look for God is when you come to the church house in public worship, I'm afraid that the majority of you will never find him. Oh, I know. I have found him of late in my private meditations a great deal more than I have found him in public worship. He is not as apt to reveal himself to the multitudes as he is in our private meditations of him in a place of solitude. She looked in the streets and she looked in the broadways, but she found him not. That is, he was not to be found in the public places. And I'm going to say to you, my friend, and I said it the other night, we're not finding him in the church house today. Oh, and there we ought to have a desire to find him in the private worship. And if we'll find him in the private worship, we'll lay hold of him and bring him to the house of God that others in the house of God might enjoy his richest blessings that he has to bestow upon the child of God. She had a desire to go a little bit further than the public worship service. Now, you mark that down in your little black book. Now, I'm not preaching, I'm exhorting you. Are you listening to me? I'm going to say not only did she not find him in public worship, but she did not find him among the prophets. All the preachers found her, found her, but he wasn't even there. Now, hey, oh yes, you're going to have to go further, just a little further. Just a little further, my friend, than public worship, and just a little further than the preachers, if you're ever going to find God. And it will have to begin with a desire down in your heart. I'm talking about a burning desire to have God in your life more than anything else in all this world. We will not find Him until we have sought with Him with the whole heart. Amen. And it takes desire to seek after God with the whole heart. That's right. And you're going to have to go beyond public worship. And you're going to have to go beyond the preachers and the preaching. Go beyond the preaching. I think that some of you, no doubt, never meet with God any other time than on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, and that satisfies you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to find Him, she didn't find Him in the public places. She didn't find Him in the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, just a little further. My, if we just had a desire to get up off of our complacency and off of our a complacent spirit and attitude and just go just a little bit further. But I'm going to be honest with you. I see something here, and here's the word that I'm going to exhort you on tonight. It is not a little further, and neither is it desire. But it is a word called determination. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, if there is no determination, we're not going to please God. It's going to take some determination if Island Ford Baptist Church is going to find Him and bring Him back to the church house, amen, that we might enjoy Him in our public worship services again. It is going to take more than a desire. It is going to take a determination that is, Lord, I will not settle for anything less than the divine, holy presence of God, not only in my life, but God visiting me down at the church house when I assemble with the people of God to worship. Determination. You know what won World War I for America? Determination. You know how we defeated Hitler and the Japanese and the Germans in World War II? Determination. You know how our boys dug in at the Battle of the Bulge and at the Rhine and Normandy Beach and defeated that crowd? Was determination. The odds were against them. But they had a determination, my friend, that they would not turn back until they had ultimately won the victory for our country. Do you know what, my friend, caused us to lose the war in Korea? No determination in the White House. Now, the generals had it, but it wasn't there in the White House. And when you break down in leadership, buddy, mark her down. You're not going to make it. You know what cost us? The battle, the war in Vietnam, no determination. That is right. And do you know what causes men to lose the battle, spiritually speaking, is that they have no determination about them. Oh, that's right. It's time, buddy, that we determined in our heart that we're going to settle for nothing less than the divine holy presence of God, not only in our life at home, but also down at the house of God. Oh, I tell you, His divine presence, my friend, will put such a ring in the sand. Oh, yes, it will. It'll take death. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, folks. If we don't get a hold of God, your children sitting on the pews are going to learn that there's more excitement out in the world than they are at the house of God. And you can kiss them goodbye one of these days. Oh, you say, not my children, preacher. Oh, you don't. Hey, my friend, if you believe that, you're dumber than a box of rocks. Amen. Hey, why do you think folks leave some of the churches that are big churches where God never shows up? I've heard them tell me it's boring down there. And it's going to get to the point that it's going to be boring around here. I'm here to tell you, friend, preaching by itself cannot maintain a good spirit in the house of God. You can take the best preaching in a house of God where there's no God, and it'll be boring. Better know I'm telling it right. Determination. I want to point out three men, and I'm done. Like I said, don't bring no outline. But I want to point out three men that had a determination in their life. Maybe not necessarily just to find God, but they were determined to find something in their life. I thought when I was praying about this, I thought about Isaac. In Genesis chapter 26, and how Isaac there became God's well digger. He became a well digger. Oh, yes, and when his father grew old and died, the Bible said there that Isaac departed thence in verse 17 and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that he had a desire, my friend, to drink from the same well that his forefathers had already drank out of. And I don't know about you tonight, but I will not settle for anything less. I've done read, my friend, the Bible, and read too many books where our forefathers have drank from that fountain, my friend, of refreshing spring water. I'm talking about drink from the water of Christ. And I've determined in my heart that I will not be satisfied with some old muddy, murky water out of a creek bed. I want the fresh spring water that only Christ can give. And our forefathers had it. That's right. I'm going to tell you, we serve the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if our forefathers drank from that spring, why can't we drink from that spring? Now, old Isaac had a desire for old-time religion. He said the religion that my daddy had was good enough for him, and if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, there ain't nothing wrong with old-time religion. No, sir. Give me that old-time religion. It was good for mother and father, and it's good enough for me. It was good enough for grandpa and grandma, and it's good enough for me. It got mom and daddy in the pearly gates, and it'll get you and I in the pearly gates. I don't want the newfangled modern-day mess that's going around in America. I want the old water out of Abraham's well. Hallelujah. Give me some old-time religion tonight. No, that's right. He went back to the very place that his daddy had found water. And he digged a well. Now look here, when he got there and digged that well, and the reason he dug it is because the Philistines had filled it full of dirt and stopped it up after the death of Abraham. I'm going to tell you, that's our problem today, son. I saw Brother Bob Gay stand right here where I'm about to stand right now. Several years ago, and kicked those little short legs of his up and down in the air and preached out the same passage of Scripture that I'm in tonight about Isaac and the well digger. And he talked about how the Philistines, my friend, have filled our wells up with dirt, and they've done it again. Men of carnal nature, worldly men, ungodly men, have crept in unaware, have stopped up the stream, they've cut off the flow of water, amen to God, down at the house of God. And you and I need to be determined in our heart to dig again those wells that we might drink from the same water of old-time religion that our forefathers drank from. I know that's right. Now, you know what? When he digged that thing, the Bible said that Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and there they found a well of springing water. And the Philistines, the herdmen of Gerar, the Bible said, come and contended with them about the water. They said, the water is ours. Now, if that had been, I know he couldn't have been a Baptist. Because if he'd have been a Baptist and he'd have said, the water's ours, he'd have just backed off and said, all right, you can have the water. I'm going to be a good Baptist and sit back down over here on my pew and let the world roll by. Let my religion go down the grave. Amen to God. Let my zeal dry up. Let my love wither away. Let my zeal dry up and serve God no more. But it was not that soft-hearted. You know what Isaac did when they fought over the well? He said, very well, my friend. He said, rather than to fight with you over the well, I'll go down here and dig me another well. Determination. He had to have water. He lived in a dry and a thirsty land, friend. And look here, well digging is work. You ever digged a well by hand? Our well at our home place in Indiana is 16 feet deep. That's what it was before they filled it back up. I've drawn many a bucket of water out of it. I've drawn water out till she was dry and climbed down in it and cleaned the dirt and the mud out of the bottom of it. Brother Robert knows what I'm talking about. And then let the rain fill her back up again. Now I'm telling you, my friend, when you start down through blue clay and old blue soapstone and mud, with a pick and a shovel. I'm not talking about modern day conveniences. Son, it takes a little bit of work. And if you're going to be determined to dig a well and find water, if you're going to find your Christ tonight, it is going to take a little bit of work on your part. You've got to get up and get busy and get laboring for God. It will take some work on your part to find that water. Are you listening to me? I hope so, my friend. And look here. They digged another well, and they strove for that well also. He called these two wells, he called them contention and something else. Contention and strife, I believe it was. But you know something? He didn't stop digging, friend, when they strove for that one. He said, this has been spoiled. I'm going to keep on digging. And he dug another well. He was determined to have water. Now, I want to say to you, my friend, without water, he would have died. And without water, spiritually, oh, we're not going to hell, but spiritually, we'll die. Are you listening to me? We'll dry up on the vine. You take plants and grass and trees and shrubs. They've all got to have gardens. They've got to have water. Watermelons, praise God, got to have water if they're going to live. And God's people got to have water if they're going to live. Water from the Word of God to live. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that's your responsibility to give us water from the Word of God. But my friend, it is your responsibility to go a little bit further than public worship and through the preaching of the prophet. You're going to have to go further, a little work on your part if you're going to find that water. An old member that came around said, hey, man, said, let's make peace. Let's make peace. And so they talked a little while, and word came to Isaac from his herdsmen and said, we've found water. They said they found a well of springing water. And for that one they strove not. And as far as I know, Isaac drank from that water of Rehoboth. He drank from that water all the rest of the days of his life. Now you look here. Everybody look right up here. And Brother Hall knows what I'm telling you. Praise God, it's good to come to church, but I know what I'm getting ready to tell you. As your pastor, I have got to find the water on my own. Nobody else will dig my well. I have learned to go a little further. I'm not riding on your coattail. I'm not riding on Brother Nolan's coattail. I'm not riding on some other preacher's coattail. I am going, my friend. I have dug my own well, and I've learned to drink from that well of living water, which is Christ, hallelujah to God. And if you're going to get you a drink, you cannot drink and strive over somebody else's well. You're going to have to dig your own. I'm going to tell you, it's come down to that in Christianity. Now, you can believe me or not believe me. You can fold your arms, sleep on me, do whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you folks that our church is suffering. And there ain't an ounce of determination in some of you to do anything about it. Not an ounce. I ain't seen it, friends. Well, I've heard through the grapevine there's a lot of criticism. But I ain't seen nobody with that determination that they're going to drink water. Oh, I'm sure that some folks think they're drinking water. I'm sure of that. Why, Brother Hall, you don't understand how much I read or how studious I am. I read my Bible 25 chapters a day. But in the reading, have you found the well? Did you find the well? There are dry holes. Right, Brother Roberts? How many times have you heard of them drilling, and drill a dry hole and find them? They call it a dry socket. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of times they drill and they get that old sulfur water. A dog couldn't drink it. Huh? I'm talking about, my friend, getting the pure water. Hallelujah to God. And look here. When they hit that final well, it was a well of springing water. I believe when they finally hit the vein, honey, it didn't fill up slowly. I believe she squirted from out the top like Old Faithful coming up out of the ground. No doubt they come running out and said, "Glory to God, we have hit a spring, a well of springing water." She done rose up out of the ground like Old Faithful. Come on and get a drink. Glory to God. That's right. Now I want to call your attention to another man. Now I won't spend too much time with him. Just a few minutes here. But there's a man in the Bible by the name of Jacob in Genesis chapter number 32. And Jacob had supplanted his brother, had went off to Paddan Aram and sojourned there and found him some wives and children, was making his way back to Canaan by order of God. But there's something in Canaan that feared him, that he was afraid of. He's afraid of his brother, a man by the name of Isaac, of Esau. Full of fear. And he got word that Esau was coming with 400 men to meet him. And he separated himself from all of his family and pulled them back. And he sent his concubines before him and his herders with gifts to give to Esau. And told him, said, tell Esau that his servant Jacob is coming up in the rear. But that night, old Jacob, he was left alone. And a lot of folks read that and said that he wrestled with an angel of God. But that is not the wrestle. That is not what the Bible there exactly says. And said there wrestled a man with him. It wasn't his own wrestlings. It was a man that wrestled with him. But once the wrestling match started, that stranger said, "Turn me loose, for the day is a-breaking." Jacob said, "I will not let you go, except you bless me." Oh, what determination. Just a little further. What if Isaac had stopped digging one well short? What if Jacob had to stop wrestling 1 hour short? Oh, I'm telling you, my friend, I'm afraid sometime that we give up on God and our determination stops just short of the victory that God wants us to have. God does not want us to die first. God does not want us to be overcome with fear. God wants us to have the victory. But so many times our desire and our determination is so weak that we'll give up on God just short of the victory. I've seen it happen in Bible college. So many times I saw boys in school that make their way through Bible college and do just fine. And they'd get in a pinch and money wouldn't come in. They'd owe a bill. They'd pull up and head back to home. And the day they left, the check would roll in the mail and be punched in their mailbox to pay their bill with. Their determination, they just didn't have it. Started with a class of 68 students the first year in Bible college and graduated with 8, I think. Why, Brother Hall? No determination. They just didn't have it in their spiz rectum. God's not looking for boys in His army. God's looking for men. Some folks that can stand hardships. Amen. Some men that can walk through dry places and have enough longing in their heart for God that can come out on the other side drinking fresh water. God's looking for men that will be like Abishai and put the book in the hand, my friend, and fight the battle until the sword. Until their hand cleaved to the sword and there's no turning it loose. God's looking for men. God's not looking for boys and kids. God's looking for men. And old Jacob was so determined to have God in his life. He said, I will not turn you loose except you bless me. God blessed him, gave him power both with God and with men, and made him a prince. Changed his name from Jacob unto Israel. Now there's one more man, and I'm done. 1 Kings chapter number 19. I'm sorry, chapter number 18. By my word, all these years, and they wasn't. He said, I'm the man that holds the key to the rain showers. And God shut up heaven on his word. But I'm going to tell you, after he had done, confronted the prophets of Baal and defeated them and had them slain, the fire had come down out of heaven, devoured the sacrifice, and Israel cried out, the Lord, he is God. Old Elijah still had one more job to do. The Bible said that he went up on Mount Carmel and laid his face down in his hands, and he began to pray for rain. Began to pray for rain. And he said to his servant, go up now and look to the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Go see, there is nothing. If that had been most Baptists, they'd have said, I knew God was a lying to me. God said that there would not be rain by my word, and there would be rain by my word, but he's dried up heaven at my word, but now he won't give rain. One little prayer. One little prayer. One time. But I'm telling you, old Elijah had such determination, told that young man, said, go up seven more times and look. Take a look seven more times. And he come back that seventh time, said, I see a cloud like a man's hand, and I saw that Elijah needed, my friend, to trust God for the rain that was to come. Are you hearing me tonight? Determination. Go a little further. Don't stop where you're at. If you stop where you're at, you're going to fall short. I'm trying to help this church and help some of you families. Some of you are going to miss God. I'm not here tonight playing games. I see problems in your heart. And problems going to come in your home. Because, son, when the spiritual problems start, mark her down, the home problems are not far down the road. I know what I'm telling you. God, hey, you remember back when Brother Raines and Brother Thompson was here? And I mentioned the verse of Scripture said God hid Himself from them. And I think that verse of Scripture in John was quoted three times in that meeting. Somebody said, oh, Jesus, don't ever hide from His people. Friend, if you believe that, you are dumber than a box of rocks. I can show you at least two places here in Solomon just without even looking, just thinking, in chapter 3 and chapter 5, that He did. And He does it to prove us. And I'm here to tell you something, friend. You're not going to find Him sitting on your tail waiting for Him to come to where you are. Go after Him. Go after Him. I'll never forget when I left Bible Baptist Church. Miss Hall and I moved into that house, of one of the finest houses we ever lived in, over at Livermore. And it had a room back in there between some closets. It was one of the kids' bedrooms. But she made that big walk-in closet my little prayer room and study room. And she gave me, I think I've still got the notebook in there in my file cabinet. She gave me a little notebook with some little old rain paper in it, notebook paper. And she put on that rain, but said, write and scribble to your little heart's content. And I'll never forget, man, going in there, I thought I was in pig heaven. I'd go into that little old room and no end with just nothing there but clothes and shoes sitting on the floor. And shut all them doors. And man, I'm going to tell you what, I had to find God in my life, folks. And God was gracious. But I'm going to tell you something. I found Him. But hey, that's right. God worked wonders. He sold a house for me without trying that I owed for. Sold a truck that I owed money on. Sold an automobile that I owed money on and couldn't pay for none of them. But God just sold them all. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? Because I was determined to find God in my life. And I found him, hallelujah to God. But I didn't do it sitting on my backside. I had to get up and go just a little further in order to find it. And it took desire and determination in order to get the job done. That's right. I'll never forget one day old Brother I. McGowan was down there preaching a revival for us. And my oldest brother, Donnie, was there. Him and Brother Bill Stotts, dear friend, I love him, came to visit us and go to church that night. We was up there in that house, sitting and talking that afternoon. And Brother McGowan said, "Let's go to the church and pray." Y'all, I'm telling you, just a little old white weatherboard building over in Rumsey, sitting on the river down there. It smells like old rotten fish now. Been underwater a number of times. And little old wooden floors that were buckled and warped from the number of times it had been flooded and had wooden benches and nails sticking up out of them. And I tell you, it wasn't anything. No bathroom inside, no running water inside. But oh, I'll never forget that day, my friend. Us four men fell on our faces in that little old Baptist church building over there and began to find God. Somebody said, "Did you find Him?" "Oh, yes! For if you seek, you will find, my friend." I'll assure you the problem is we're not knocking and we're not seeking. For if we knock and seek, He'll open and we'll find, bless your heart. He does not want to hide Himself forever. God wants us to get up and come after Him to prove our love and to prove our faith. To let God, to let us know mainly that we really love God. To prove to you that God means more to you than anything else in this world. Are you listening to me? God, hey, He knows your heart. Somebody said, why didn't it take no longer at Overt Bible Baptist for things to happen than it did? I'm going to tell you why. God knows the hearts of men. God knows our hearts right here tonight. He knows who's going to look and who won't, who will find and who won't and who can't. That's right, but it's my business to probe you. I'm going to tell you, I like what Stephen Rickey told me about old General Patton. When there's a putting old Rommel, the German general, out of Northern Africa, he told his troops, said, if your tanks run out of gas, get out and walk. We're not stopping. That's my word to you tonight. My friend, get out and walk. We're not stopping. We're not home yet. The red carpet's not been rolled out yet. We've not met Jesus yet. We've not heard the seraph sing yet. We have not stood on a street of gold yet. Amen. We're not there yet. Get out and walk. If you're out of gas, walk. It may take some walk. Determination. My brother told me today that he saw a video of Benny Hinn. He said Benny Hinn had told people that I couldn't remember it all. Boy, that's enough, Josh. Said Benny Hinn told people that God had made a funnel from heaven down to his ministry. Are you ready for this? And told people that every time he preached, that gold dust from the street of gold sprinkled upon his face as he preached. Are you hearing me? My brother told me that Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin, and this is not the only time I heard it, for a man I was witnessing to Friday told me the same thing, that he saw the same video and said they were slaying one another in the spirit, and said those idiots were honestly, both of them, crawling around on their bellies and hissing like a snake, and said they'd walk. Crawl up to people and hiss at them like a snake. And said people just melt and roll like water. And said then they'd start crawling around like snakes. I'm telling you, how religious and how moronic can a nation be, my friend, that cannot read the Bible and understand that serpent in the Bible is a type of the devil, and yet they'll go on going after that mess. But you can't get folks to stop believing God, the real God, real religion, old time salvation. That makes me determined. Oh, may God grant me the longevity of life to show this generation the power of God. and the stripes of our Lord and the love and mercy of Christ. For it is my desire that God would loose us and let us go and evangelize and sow the good seed of the Word of God to a lost and a dying world. But I tell you, if we can't find the sower of the Word of God, how can we sow? I made up my mind that I'm doing upper room business. You can do as you please. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to do business in the upper room, friend. That's right. I have found my place in the upper room over there in that shack. And that's all it is compared to a mansion. Just a shack. That's all. It's just a place to keep me warm and dry. Cool. Wash some of the scuzz off this old flesh of mine when I get in at night. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm more interested in finding God. Oh, where are you, Lord? Would you not reveal yourself again? While only John stood on the Isle of Patmos, exiled for a testimony of Christ and the Word of God, and felt like he'd been abandoned, I'm glad, thank God, that my Lord come to him and my friend with eyes of a flaming fire and hair like wool and feet like brass, and gave him a divine revelation of what was to take place in the latter days. Oh, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he found him. He found him. Somebody said, oh, but Jesus came to him. Oh, yeah, but you're missing the part. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Do you want to find it? Get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Some folks will look for every little excuse to stay out of church and try to tell me that they love God. Huh? You don't love God. You don't know God. No, sir. You wouldn't know him if he walked across the street in front of you. That fellow up yonder wouldn't know God if he walked across the street. Folks up there on that one day back last year in July in the camp meeting said, oh, said he preached and all of heaven came down and two men been saved for 2 years. Said he's a sham, he's a sham, he's a sham. He is. God help us. Had one of their families to call me this afternoon and said, preacher, can we come to church Sunday in that morning down there? I think it'd be all right. Determination. That's the word. She went a little further. But it took determination to go a little further. I told the story and I close with this. I'll never forget the night in Vietnam. Mama's goodie box come in. 5 minutes after I got it in the mail. I hadn't even got it open yet. Captain Fessmeyer said, saddle up. We're going out on a goat. I said, Captain, I got this big box of goodies. He said, throw it in the fire. I said, sir, that's my care package, man. My mama sent me that. Them oatmeal, no-bake cookies in there, and they's fudge and brownies in there, and you want me to throw that in the trash? That'd come from mama. He said, throw it in the trash. Burn it. I said, I'll not do it, sir, unless you make me. If you'll give me permission, I'll carry it with me to the goat. He said, you can't make it! But he didn't know how determined I was to eat a no-bake oatmeal cookie. Son, I headed down through them jungles making the grass and the bamboo snap and pop, son, with my M16 in one hand and mama's gift package care box in the other. I got to sweating and got out of breath and I got a little help from my buddies, but I made it because I was determined to make it. Do you know why my daddy is still alive? He's too determined to live. He won't die. Son, I'm telling you, it takes determination for us to live when we grow old in the flesh. And it's going to take determination for us to go on spiritually and serve God. Determination. I'm going to tell you something. I made the goat. And I made it with a box of no-bake oatmeal cookies. Now, the next morning, that box was empty. And I didn't have any problem burning the box. But all we enjoyed no-bake cookies that night. Had a time in enjoying them too, buddy. A real time. I was determined. I made it home, folks. When I came out of the field over there that last day out in the field and hit that airstrip and looked at that captain flying that old flying boxcar airplane, I said, "Sir, where are you going?" He said, "On K." I said, "How about a flight back?" He said, "Soldier, you got any orders?" I said, "No, sir, but I want a flight back." He said, "I can't take you." I said, "I got to go." I said, "Am I going home?" I'm talking about determination. Making that last flight from O'Hare to Louisville, I went to shaking sun and a relapse of the malaria fever come on me, and I sat there and shivered and shook, and that stewardess come up to me and said, "Sir," said, "are you all right?" I said, "I believe it's just a little malaria relapse." She said, "We'll call ahead and have the ambulance waiting and get you to the hospital." I said, "No hospital for me, ma'am. Got bigger things to see." She said, "Sir, you're sick." I said, "I'm going home." Determined to make her home. And I'm telling you, bless your heart, I'm determined tonight to make her home by the grace of God and drink from the fountain all the way. Determined. Are you that determined? You going to make her? You going to drink? You going to find him? A little further. I'm asking you. As your pastor, I love you. I'm asking you. Will you go a little further? Will you try? Will you just put your spiritual foot forward and say, "By the grace of God, I'm going on further, a little further." He's there. Things will change. It'll pick up. Grace will be given. I can just go a little further. I'll find you. Stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed.